Continuing in our study of the perseverance of the saints, please open the Westminster Confession of Faith to chapter 17 of the perseverance of the saints. Last time we looked at section 1 along with its proof texts. It reads as follows. Section 1. They whom God has accepted in His beloved, effectually called and sanctified by His Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. Section 2. This perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will, but upon the immutability of the decree of election, flowing from the free and unchangeable love of God the Father, upon the efficacy of the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ, the abiding of the Spirit and of the seed of God within them, and the nature of the covenant of grace, from all which arises also the certainty and infallibility thereof. Back to the beginning of section 2. This perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will. If it were possible for you, beloved, to lose your salvation by your own free will, you most certainly would lose it. Thankfully, there is a more certain, a more sure, dare I say, a more infallible basis for the perseverance of our faith, for our perseverance, for the perseverance of the saints. And that basis is the preserving power of God. That preservation is based upon the decree of election. God has chosen. God knows His own. It is based upon the fact that God's compassions do not change. It is based upon the fact that the justice of God necessitates that those whom Christ's merits have been imputed to must be rewarded. It is based upon the fact that Jesus Christ as an intercessor is effectual. For whom He does pray, He obtains the thing prayed for. It is based upon the fact that the Spirit abides. Our free wills do not need to make sure that we abide effectually in Christ, but rather the Holy Spirit abiding in us causes us to abide. Our preservation, our perseverance is based upon the fact that there is an incorruptible seed, the Word of God, that has been planted in us. Our preservation is based upon the legal structure of the covenant of grace. And so we can be certain. If we have been saved, we are saved, and we will be saved. Now, if we consider the decree of election, which is immutable, it's unchangeable, and we consider the free and unchangeable love of God the Father, we look at them side by side. Look at footnote B, Psalm 89, verses 3 and 4, and also verses 28 to 33. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Your seed will I establish forever, and build up your throne to all generations. Now that's a promise to Christ. But we need to remember that the promises that are to Christ, He represents us in as well. And so the seed there, right, is obviously the seed of David in terms of Christ, but also the seed of Christ, which are the elect. Remember, we reign with Christ. We are enthroned with Christ. We are seated with Him in the heavenly places. He is the font of all justice and all authority. My mercy will I keep for Him forevermore. The mercy is kept toward us for the seed, for Christ, forevermore, because He's our legal representative. And my covenant shall stand fast with Him. His seed also will I make to endure forever. That's us. You may recollect that there are no natural children of Christ. So who are these seed? Who are these children? They're the elect. They're his children by faith. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. The covenant with David is a covenant with Christ. It's a covenant with the seed of David as Christ, but also the seed of David in the sense of the seed of Christ. And our sins will not cause us to lose the love of God, but they will bring the rod. They will bring stripes of correction. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. 2 Timothy 2:18-19. Who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal: the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Our election, the immutability of our salvation, the immutability of the election, the electing decree of God, the immutability of the love of God, should encourage us out of gratitude, as those who name the name of Christ, to depart from iniquity. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. God's love is everlasting, it is unchanging. And he draws us to himself out of that love. If we have been drawn to God, then we are those who have the everlasting love of God. Now, in addition to the immutable decree of election, the free and unchangeable love of God the Father, we have the efficacy of the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ. Footnote C, Hebrews 10:10-14. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 9:12-15. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The mediation of Christ, the eternal inheritance, the everlasting covenant. He was offered once for all time, for by one offering He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. There is no greater mediator than the Lord Jesus Christ. No man could have better merits. No priest a more effective intercession. Did he accomplish his purpose? Did he cause they that are called to receive the promise, to receive the eternal inheritance? Or is it a temporary inheritance? Romans 8:33-39. Who shall lay any charge? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord. His merits are imputed to us. We are in legal union with him. He is our mediator, and he intercedes for us. Jesus Christ died to make payment for our sins, was risen to give testimony to the fact that he justifies all those who believe. He's at the right hand of God, and he makes intercession for us. And the love of Christ and the love of God are both put forward here. God the Father sent Jesus Christ. Will he reject the accomplished work? Will Christ condemn his own work? John 17:11-24. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. The love of the Father for Jesus Christ makes it so that he would have to hate Christ, to reject Christ's work. He loves him, and therefore he sent him for the glory of the Son. Now he intercedes, he prays for those who were given to him. The Father has given him all power and all authority. His sacrifice has been accepted. He is seated because he is done sacrificing. He is seated because he has all authority. He is seated because he is the prophet who teaches the truth. Is this a lie? Was his intercession rejected? Was his sacrifice rejected? Is his authority a farce? Did God the Father lie when he covenanted with God the Son? These are foundation stones of the perseverance of the saints. Luke 22:32. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ had no doubt that Peter would repent. Peter would betray him 3 times, but that he would repent because he had prayed for him. He had confidence in his own intercession. Should we have less confidence in the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ than he himself has? Who knows better the power of his prayers, us or him? Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Do his intercessions for his people save to the uttermost, or just to the heart? By reading through this, you see how offensive to the doctrine of God the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, the intercession of our King, our priest. Do you see how offensive and disgusting the idea that the elect might fall away is? Do you see how disgusting the doctrine is that teaches that a man can be saved today and unsaved tomorrow? It's blasphemous. It contradicts the truth. It opposes the truth. It should be shouted down in the streets. It should cause wailing and lamentation and a tearing of shirts. It is not Christianity. It is not Christianity. It is another gospel that believes not in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor of the Holy Spirit, nor of the Father. They worship a God of their own imaginings, and they have no idea what Jesus Christ's death meant. Not the slightest clue. When you meet an Arminian or a Papist, a Pelagian of any sort, anywhere on the spectrum from semi to the whole thing, he's an unbeliever and he needs the gospel. It's your job to instruct him, to teach him that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and he did. How about the nature of the covenant of grace? Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped something. The merit and intercession of Jesus Christ, and then also the abiding of the Spirit and of the seed of God within them. Footnote D, John 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Whom the world cannot receive. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. The dwelling of the Holy Spirit in you is equated with the knowledge of God. You know the Spirit because he dwells in you. He dwells in you and therefore causes you to know. Just as the Ark of the Covenant bore the Word of God, those who are the temple of God have the Word of God in their hearts. And God dwells with his people. He dwells in his people. His Word is him. He dwells in you by his Word. And the Holy Spirit causes you to believe the Word. And the dwelling of the Spirit in your heart is the dwelling of the Word with faith. You believe it. The world cannot receive. The world cannot receive. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. Because if you receive the Spirit of truth, you're not the world. The elect of God are caused to be saved by the truth and by the Spirit of truth. But I repeat myself. The Spirit of truth is truth. The truth is the Spirit of truth. We have the external call and there's the internal call. The external call of the preaching of the Word, or perhaps the reading of the Word. But the Spirit causes you to believe it. And when you have the knowledge of the truth, it's eternal life. It abides with you forever. The Spirit abides with you forever. He strengthens you. He gives you fortitude. He gives you strength. Spirit of strength of soul. He preserves you. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. The anointing is called the truth, and is also called him. The Spirit is the anointing. The Spirit is the truth. The Spirit teaches. Don't call any man teacher. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Call any man father. Your God is your father. Now, we can use those titles. You understand. You can say that someone's taught you something. You can call somebody a father. It's important to understand the distinction there. If a person ever teaches you, it's because the Holy Spirit taught you. They might be the instrument. The Holy Spirit's the effectual cause. 1 John 3:9. Oh, by the way, does that remind you of the new covenant? You don't need to call anybody teacher. The anointing teaches you all things. You do not need that any man teach you. You don't need your neighbor to tell you, know the Lord. We have the new covenant. This is already. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and it's a part of what preserves you. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. And this is not saying that you literally cannot commit any sin. This is not perfectionism. Right? This is talking about, as we've studied it in detail before, this is talking about the fact that there's a testimony against the person's profession when they commit sin. And so there's a need to repent in order to go back to good standing. But being born of God and having the seed of God is what makes it so that we are fit to do good works. We are able to do good works, and so that we repent of our sins. We have the abiding of the Spirit, and we have the seed of God within us. And therefore, we will not perish. And now, let's consider the nature of the covenant of grace, footnote E. Jeremiah 32, verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Sorry, with them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Psalm 89, verses 34 to 37. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. As long as the sun is, and as long as the moon is. That means until Jesus Christ comes back. Christ will be seated until he comes back at the end of his reign, and he resurrects the dead, calls all men to be judged before him for the renewal of all things. As long as the sun, as long as the moon, you will either die before then, or you will be called up to be judged before the sun or the moon cease. From all which, all of what again? Let's recap. What are all these things? The immutability of the decree of God, the free and unchangeable love of God the Father, the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ, the efficacy of the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ, the abiding of the Spirit, the seed of God within the elect, and the nature of the covenant of grace. From all which arises also the certainty and infallibility thereof. The perseverance of the saints doesn't depend upon our free will. It depends upon all of those things. Therefore, our perseverance is certain and infallible. Comments, questions, or objections from the voting members? Again, I'm sorry, I forgot the footnotes here for F, so let me look at those verses real fast. So, the certainty and infallibility of this perseverance, footnote F, John 6, 38 to 40. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. John 10, 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 1 John 2, 19. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your decree of election, for your free and unchangeable love. We thank you for sending your Son to effectively provide us with a merit that is not our own, and to intercede for us as a great high priest. We thank you that you and your Son have sent your Spirit and have caused your Word to be planted in our hearts and to take root. We thank you for the covenant of grace, the emblem of renewal of which we are about to partake. And we thank you for the certainty and infallibility of the perseverance that you have given to us. You, O Lord, are worthy to be praised. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.